السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. قد قال الله تعالى في كلامه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, first of all, I want to thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us many opportunities that we can discuss in a different forum, in different situations, about the religious requirement in every injunction in our life. Secondly, that I want to explain one thing, that when it comes to nikah, a bayan in nikah is not a compulsory. That we all have to understand. The trend has become so much that people have considered that this to be a compulsory. If there is no bayan, then they think there is no nikah. So we have to make these things clear. It is sunnah to have a khutbatul nikah. Khutbatul nikah in Arabic or in any other language, just to remind about the purpose of marriage and reminding us about the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come to the chapter of marriage, it's a very detailed chapter. We can speak in different angles. Today I want to just discuss about only one angle, only one section of marriage, that is the father-in-law and son-in-law relationship. Not everything. Father-in-law and son-in-law. In some other occasion I have spoken about the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship. Today I am going to speak about the father-in-law and the son-in-law relationship. You know, Islam is so easy and simple, and everything is being clearly explained because our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically demonstrated all those things. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had four daughters: Zainab, Ruqayya, Ummu Kulthum, Fatima radiallahu anha. All of them he gave in marriage, and three of them got married and passed away in his own life. And how did he deal with his son-in-laws? If we just discuss about his first son-in-law, Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a, this marriage took place before the prophethood of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the prophethood of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the nephew of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija radiallahu anha's brother's or a sister's son is Abu al-As ibn Rabi'a. When he saw Zainab radiallahu anha has reached that age and he had some, you know, attraction towards her, he went and spoke to Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha said, you know, I'm the mother, but we have to go and ask the father. The father is responsible, he's wali. And when that asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give the word without asking his daughter. He said, okay, fine, you're a nice man, but anyway, I must ask Zainab radiallahu anha. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Zainab radiallahu anha and asked her, and she just blushed. She was smiling and blushing. So that is a sign that she was saying, it's okay, I'm ready. So she was a young girl and she was blushing. He said, yes, I'm okay. This is something very, very important. The fathers must take this into your mind. Islam has given you the right. You can choose your son-in-law, but Islam encourages you that it has to be done with her consent. Some of the time this has been interpreted in this time for our own advantage. We interpret in a different way and we say, this is what Islam, I am father, I have to write off. Without my permission, you can't get married. You know, we say, but Islam has said that this is the matter. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave both of them in marriage. And then time came, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the prophethood. And at that time, his son-in-law Abu al-As ibn Rabi was away. He was away in the journey. He went for some merchant. When he came back, he got to know that his father-in-law and his wife, the whole family has embraced Islam. They have got into a new religion. He felt very uncomfortable. He said, you know what? I am not ready to give up my forefather's religion. Allah. Now you see the situation. Now there is a clash between father-in-law and son-in-law. And how did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handle it? He did not, you know, provoke, or he did not get angry, and he did not, you know, retaliate with anything. He told Zainab radiallahu anha, Ahsin ilayhi, you be good to him. He didn't say, you come home. He doesn't want to accept me, you come home. No, he said, Ahsin ilayhi. It went on, even the time of Hijrat came. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is migrating, still the son-in-law is not a Muslim. Daughter is coming and asking, what is my condition? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahsin ilayhi, you be good to him. Until the verse ayah revealed after the Battle of Badr that a kafir and a Muslim cannot live together, as both are two religion cannot live together. Until that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not interfere when it comes to their marital rights. This is something very important, and we can go on detail. And again, when it comes to the story of Ali radiallahu anhu, I can bring it between Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anhu. Once Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to go to Fatima radiallahu anhu's house, and he found the daughter is not happy. What will we do? As a father, after a long time going and daughter is not happy, get angry with the son-in-law, right? Get angry, right? Why he is not keeping my daughter comfortable, you know? Why is he oppressing? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the natural disturbance, natural problems that occurs between a husband and wife. He did not go and ask detailedly, what did he give to eat? Did he take you out? What's wrong with you? No, he understood. As husband and wife, there are ups and downs. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood, he asked, where is your husband? Where is your husband, Ali radiallahu anhu? Then she told that, you know what, my husband left and, you know, we had a problem and he got angry and he left. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very upset. But anyway, he knew. This is another very important point. He immediately went to the masjid. When he went to the masjid, he found Ali radiallahu anhu. This is something important. The ulama explains that a father, before giving the daughter to someone, you must find out detailedly about the son-in-law. Because you're going to hand over completely. After, don't find any shortcomings after giving her in marriage. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exactly knew where my son-in-law will be. If there is any problem, he will be in the masjid. So we must understand what type of, who is his friend, where is he going, what type of habit, what type of character he has. Don't just look, you know, outer appearance and his social, you know, standing, what he has, or position, that and this. That will not help when it comes to marriage life, family life. That is a very secret and personal life. So he has to have very good quality when it comes to his character. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went there, he found Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, let nothing happen. No worry, he's sleeping on the sand, laying down. You know, Masjid al-Nabawi at that time didn't have tile or anything. He's laying down and rolling on all over. He had sand, you know. He woke him up. How did he wake him up? He didn't say Ali, because Ali radiallahu, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the right to wake him up saying Ali, because he brought him up. From young age, Ali radiallahu anhu was brought up by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had the right. But now he is no more his son, he is a son-in-law. He woke him up in a most in a joyful way, in a, you know, humorous way, said, Ya Abad Turab, or the father of soil. Because he was, you know, bathed with this sand all over. Ali radiallahu anhu stood up. Ali radiallahu stood up and took the son-in-law, went home. And he did not advise the son-in-law, he advised the daughter. He said, you can be my daughter, but if you don't please your husband, you will not enter Jannah. Allah. So there will be differences, but you try to please your husband. You try to, you know, adjust yourself according to the liking, according to the need. This is something very, very important. Once we have decided, given in marriage, nowadays we see, we hear lots of problems due to the interfering from in-laws. You allow them because you know that they are adults, they can live a life, they can form a family and live alone. We have to allow them. Interference must take place in a positive way, not in a negative way. You can help him out. They are finding difficult financially, or they are finding difficult to, you know, set up themselves. Yes, at that time we have to help. The family is there for that. But when they can sort their matters out, we have to allow them to, you know, handle their things according to what they are. Because they all have different likings. They all think in a different way. So we need to allow them to do that. And later in his life, Ali radiallahu anhu said, the name I most, the name that I love mostly, that's the name Abu Turab, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me with that name. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me with that name, so I love that. Something very, very important when it comes to the relationship between the father-in-law, son-in-law, a good understanding, a good rapport, that will help their marriage life. We must try to help them. Nowadays, you know what the father-in-law does? He tried to buy off the son-in-law. He's saying, this is how we're going to help his marriage. He's buying him off. So I'll pay you that, I'll give you that. Before the marriage, everything is spoken. He's saying, this is how the marriage can be. He's trying to buy him off. No, that will not happen. There are people who have bought them off and they are falling in trouble. Whenever he feels trouble, whenever he has a trouble, he knows my father-in-law is rich. My father-in-law always will give money. He send the daughter home. Go, go and ask your father money and come. There are so many cases. People come and talk to us. He said, once a son-in-law sent the wife, and you know, a man has sent the wife, say, tell your father to ride that vehicle and give, then only you can live with me. Allahu Akbar. Because we are the one who taught them that, you know, that trick of playing with the life. So my dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, this relationship, understanding between husband and wife, understanding between in-laws, understanding is something very, very important. That's why Islam says, before marriage, you find out, you go ask anybody. And Islam has given a right, if someone come and ask you about someone, if it's pertaining the marriage, you have the right to speak about his shortcomings. You have to be very honest, and you have the right to speak about shortcomings. If you don't speak about the shortcoming, cover, and then you are sinner. Allahu Akbar. In other time, you cannot speak his shortcomings. If someone come, you know, I want to give my daughter in marriage to so and so, how is he? At that time, you must say, you have to mention his shortcomings, if he has any shortcomings, not just create shortcomings. So this is something very, very important. So my respected brothers, elders in Islam, the marriage, so many marriages taken place. So we must concentrate. Nowadays when it comes to marriage, our people concentrate about so many other external factors than which is the internal bond between the husband and wife. What the card should look like, where the marriage should take place, how the frock should be, what they're going to dress, all these things, we have spent so much of money, so much of time, so much of energy, but we don't think about how these two couples can live a happy marriage life. How can we contribute this? How can we invite good, pious people who will pray for them, who will make dua for them? How we can do, you know, in this marriage, on their name, we can give some charity or sadaqah, we donate something where their marriage, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep all the evil eyes away, all the calamities away, and Allah will help. We never think about that. We all think other way around, to beautify the marriage externally. Everything is beautified. The location is the best location, the best meal is been served, the best dressing been dressed. But when it comes to the internal bond between husband and wife, we should concentrate that. That's how a good progeny, good people, righteous society will come to the world, and through a good marriage. You know what is a good marriage and a dua, the barak of dua? Other day I attended janazah, and it was a old grand, you know, a grandma, an old lady had passed away. And I asked her, 5-10 years ago her husband had passed away, and she had passed away. She has about 38 grandchildren. 38 grandchildren, this is recalled, this is a successful marriage. That grandmother and that grandfather's marriage is successful because 38 people who can donate, every action of them is being written to that grandparents, Allah. In day of Qiyamah, each and every one of us will meet our entire progeny and our forefathers, Allahu Akbar, in Jannah together, if all of them live in Islam and die in Islam. So this is what we are expecting from this marriage. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially accept this couple, inshaAllah, grant them a happy marriage life, lot of children where they will be happy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should create more, you know, righteous society, righteous people through this type of marriage. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.